Organized Chaos, presented by ADT, brilliantly safe.
Welcome to Organized Chaos. Along with Rex Ryan, here's Bart Scott.
Week 9 ended just like it began, with a upset by the Tennessee Titans going out to Los Angeles, the City of Angels, and dominating the Los Angeles Rams. We crowned them the champions after the Von Miller trade. Maybe we all got it wrong. Maybe the Tennessee Titans are the best team in football. That remains to be seen. But it seems like it's a new champion every single week. Eventually, the cream will rise to the top and we'll have a champion. But right now, it's week to week. Tennessee dominated the game in the second quarter. 21 points. Matthew Stafford doing this Carson Wentz impersonation, throwing an interception while in the grass, going down for a safety. Touchdown. Out route. Byers, touchdown, game over, good night. It remains to be seen. The end of week 9 is going to be capped off by the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Chicago Bears. After we buried dirt on the Pittsburgh Steelers time and time again, now you look up, they have an opportunity to go 5-3. I don't know. You don't know. This is organized chaos. This NFL season is unorganized chaos, and it remains to be seen.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott, being joined now by Rex Ryan. Rex, what the hell did we witness this week? Last week, a couple weeks ago, was the week of the backup quarterbacks. Now this is just upset Sunday, man. What the hell are we seeing? Did I miss something?
Yeah, it just shows you how you can have the top of the league and the bottom of the league, and there's not that dang much difference. And that's what the NFL wanted, man. You wanted mediocrity and everything.
Parity.
Parity. They wanted parity, but they got mediocrity because that was awful. Like, look at some of those damn games. Like, Bart, how the hell did this come? Like, Dallas, they couldn't get anything going. And here's one of the most explosive offenses in the league. Man, they were pinned down for all but, 5 minutes left in the game? Like, it was a joke,
garbage time. But I tell you what, man, listen, you talk about that defense finally getting exposed. And listen, every team, and that's why we said this, every team at least once or twice a year has a stinker like this. But, man, you talk about this was the case, they might as well started Cooper Rush. Maybe they should have put Cooper Rush in to try and get a spark for the offense. I mean, you look on the Denver side of the ball, this week they trade – the face of their organization, at least in modern time, right? Everybody understands it's John Elway. But they trade Von Miller. You say, okay, well, maybe they're giving up, right? But then this kid named Jonathan Cooper comes and gives you 2 sacks. You're like, well, wait a minute. Did they know something that we didn't know? Like, is Von Miller past his prime and it was time to let the young bull eat? And the young bull went on and ate. It really shows really the value of Tyron Smith, because everybody was barbecue chicken, rushing off that side. But that is no excuse for them not to be able to run the ball. They still have Zach Martin, and Lionel Collins. They're still supposed to have that offensive line. That was great. But really what I was more impressed with was the Denver offensive line and the way that they pounded them to the tune of 200 yards. It was straight ahead, no fair dodging, like you would always say, Rex. I mean, listen, I picked Javonte Williams to be my rookie of the year. Now, that's not going to happen, right, because Ja'Marr Chase is putting on a clinic. But this kid reminds me a little bit of Sean Green. It seems like later in the season, while everybody started to get hurt, and before with the Melvin Gordon show, it started to be the Javonte Williams show, and he is starting to pick up steam. And everybody knows, as you get weaker and this guy's been fresh, he is starting to run through guys and carry guys, much like Sean Green did for us, man. What say you?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And let's face it, look, Denver's best offensive lineman, Garrett Bowles, never even played. So it's like, how the hell did anybody see this coming? And, that looked like the old dang Dallas Cowboy defense. Just, getting their damn nose bloodied and just taking it and taking a good old-fashioned ass-whipping. That's what it is. And Denver, Teddy Two Gloves? Teddy freaking Two Gloves?
He knows what y'all doing, Rex. He know what they're trying to do. They traded Von Miller for a second and third. They trying to get draft assets so they can get his ass up out of there. So he's like Willie Beam. He said, when y'all cut me, trade me, I'm going to be worth 2 times I was before you got me. He said, you say I can't push the ball down the field? Bull crap, man. I'm going to push it down the field to the tune of 19 for 28. Both 249, he did what he needed to do. But the crazy part is when you look at this, right, Rex? They're 5-4, right? Yeah. Remember, they won three, lost three. Now they've just won this one. They're right where they need to be. Because you talk about Kansas City or Kansas, whatever we call it. You know what we call it. Kansas Poopy. Like, listen, I've never seen a team look so bad in victory.
Yeah, could you imagine if Aaron Rodgers would have played that game? They would have lost by 3 touchdowns. So, I mean, you know, but you're right. Like, it's crazy. So Denver's right in the thick of things, and they let their best player go. But it goes to show, man, I mean, any given day. But Dallas, what the – I can't believe all the weapons they have. You know, that was – and I don't know what's crazier, how poorly Dallas played, or the fact at the end of the game when you get your brains kicked in, you still have Dak Prescott in the game. What the hell was that? Look, we killed Judge for running, you know, Daniel Jones or whatever. Well, Dak Prescott, am I wrong? Didn't he miss last week because of injury? And you got him running for a two-point meaningless play and playing the last 5 minutes of the game. It's absolutely ridiculous to me.
It's crazy. So all the credit that we gave them for how they played Tampa Bay, all that is taken away with how they played against Denver. So I don't want to hear that argument anymore.
No.
Oh, their one loss was a good loss, because this loss isn't good at all. But listen, who knows? If Denver's able to run the ball like this, and I think what we don't speak of is just really the defensive personnel that Denver has. Simmons is a stud, right? Out there, Patrick Surtain is a stud. You know, Harrison is a stud out there for them on defense. So Kareem Jackson, you know, they got the defensive personnel. I think it was a matchup made in heaven for them, because they like how they matched up across the board with them, and it showed. They shut them down. Right, they still have Darby, Nate Harris. You know, they have the personnel, and I think
Callahan or whatever. Yep, they got a bunch of them.
So they got a bunch of them, and it worked. And it worked out to their favor. But it's crazy, because now Dallas could afford that loss, right? Okay, every team has that. They're still 6-2, but now we're looking at them like, okay, is this the start of how the Cowboys start to look? Our team's going to figure them out. But the good thing is their record is weak. So, like, yeah, they can learn, and this is great teaching tape. They're feeling good about themselves. You know, they've been on a hell of a roll. Even their backup quarterback is able to get it done. But the fact that Dak Prescott – I don't think they get the message if Dak Prescott plays. But, listen, that's one thing. You know, we could all saw that one coming. Okay, well, we're not saw it coming. We're shocked, but we're not appalled. What I'm appalled about?
The fact that the Bills –
I'm appalled. I am appalled that a team that has aspirations of winning a Super Bowl, will the best team in the AFC please stand the hell up? Because, I mean, Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Jacksonville. And who knew that the better Allen was on Jacksonville this Sunday? I mean, almost hit for the cycle, Rex.
He really did, Bart. Look, Josh Allen actually had eight tackles in that game, had a sack, had an interception, had a fumble recovery. I mean, he never got in the end zone. That's the only dang thing that he didn't do. Well, guess what? Neither did Josh Allen, the quarterback on the other side. So it was unfreaking believable. It's almost like, what did they do? They went to Jacksonville. Did they all go party out, you know, party the night before? What the hell
happened? Jacksonville? What the hell? What trailer park?
I have no idea.
Trailer park, they're going to party in Jacksonville. We've been to Jacksonville. There's nothing to do there.
I know there isn't, but, man, maybe they were out, like, looking at gators or something. But it was a damn joke. Like, how do you show up like that? And just getting your – I mean, that was just brutal right there. And a horrible loss, but it makes you think. Sometimes – when you really think you're the man, you're the whatever,
you just made a jockstrap out there.
Yeah, you got to go out and prove it every single week. And it's like this, you know, Urban Meyer. It's like, you know, we've seen him. They look brutal. 2-12 guys on the field, back to back defensive plays last week. He looks completely lost, and he goes out there and gets a win over the best team in the AFC. So right now, Urban Meyer's like, see, I told you we can get it done. But
can this be one of those wins that he says, I got your attention. If we can beat them, we can beat anybody. Or is this more about Buffalo kind of just laying their jockstraps out there?
Yeah.
Really not putting a good game plan together. Because even when you have one of those games, you're like, man, I can't get it done. You know, we're not feeling right. Usually it's somebody that can give you a spark. When we think that the difference between one team and the next is so great. Usually you have one of these stinkers, and it's in the first half. But in the second half, fourth quarter, They only had to score one touchdown, Rex. They couldn't muster any points in the third and the fourth quarter. That tells me that they didn't make – what adjustments couldn't they make?
Like, well, and the thing, you heard one of the safeties, I don't know if it was Poyer or the other kid, both one of them said that we weren't prepared to play. Now, if that isn't the ultimate slap in the face to your football coach or coaches, then I don't know what is. But it's almost like a soft way of finger pointing right there. We weren't prepared to play. Maybe that kid wasn't prepared to play, but those coaches, I'm sure, were up there till 2 o'clock in the morning and all that type of stuff. But that is you can't get a worse thing to say about your coach than saying we weren't prepared to play.
It's crazy. I don't know if they're looking ahead to next week or what. They just thought that this was going to be a stacked game for them, but. You know, when you're the king of the castle, everybody's going to give you their best effort. And, you know, the worst thing you can ever do to a team like Jacksonville is keep them in the game and let them get faith and hope that they can freaking even compete with you. You got to stump on those dudes to affirm what they already believe before the game started. Jacksonville didn't believe they can win this damn game.
No, but amazing, you kept, though, man. Like you said, you keep letting them hang around. Here's the other thing that's scary. Now everybody's like, well, is New England the best team in that division? God, I hate hearing that crap.
Right. Five and four today.
Like, I know, but it's like.
But they beat your homeboy. I'm starting Rex. Did. He got one more week, Rex, and I might come over to the other side, man. I've given Sam Darnold every benefit of the doubt.
And you know
every
who did it?
Every benefit of the doubt.
Who's the guy that you know of that question that pick right from jump and has always said that this guy is not the guy you think he is? That would be yours truly. Now people are starting to follow in. Where's all those Sam Darnold apologists?
Jeez,
where are all those damn guys? He throws three more picks today. Hey, Belichick wasn't there, right? I mean, he was in his head. You know, he had him seeing ghosts and all that. He had him seeing ghosts again, back-to-back games against. And this guy stinks. Like, give me a break. You might as well put the other guy that's even worse in there. The guy that, you know, somebody said was the next Patrick Mahomes, who can't play dead in a B Western either. That's the same thing they have at quarterback. So these guys are pretenders to the Carolina Panthers. And in reality, it's hit that team in the mouth as well. And the sad thing is, look, they make a trade for Stephon Gilmore, who's been incredible. He comes out, picks old Mac Jones off and all that type of stuff, who, by the way, turned it over three times. Still a great quarterback, right? Yeah. Okay. He's a great one.
He completed 12 passes, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Just a couple to the other team. But either way, it's, I still don't believe in them, but dang. I mean, I do believe in their defense. They are playing well.
Man, that was a shocker. So now, right now, New England 5-4, only one game back of the Buffalo Bills, and they play each other late in the season. And, you know, New England still has a couple of tough games to go. I mean, I think realistically, somebody's going to be 10-7. 10-7, though, it's interesting, right? Because I still think that Buffalo wins the division.
Right.
And maybe and so now you start looking at the wild card, you know, teams. You know, the teams that's going to make the wild card. It's looking like it's going to maybe be New England and maybe Cleveland. Like,
well, I mean, now with the extra wild card team, everybody's still – you know, like everybody but the Jets and whoever, but everybody is still alive in this thing.
We're starting to get a picture of like, okay, you know, let's hurry up and we'll be in the next 3 weeks. We'll be able to bury a couple of more teams. We'll be able to just bury them. And we'll start seeing guys start to go on injured reserve, start to have their surgeries, things of that sort. Indianapolis looked great, right?
Yeah.
Indianapolis looked great. Jonathan Taylor looks like he's going to take the Derrick Henry mantle, as he just looks like he's getting stronger, faster, and bigger. Like he's playing on it. He looks like Bo Jackson on Tecmo Bowl right now.
Yeah,
like,
he does.
It don't matter if you pick the player or not. And speaking of Bo Jackson, the Raiders. And listen, I mean, I feel for this. The Raiders just they can't catch a break. And
oh man,
we seen them respond to the John Gruden firing, but I think that Henry Ruggs was something that was different, right? Because this is a brother. Yeah. This is a guy that you're used to. This is the first game day where you don't see him there. You're not able to talk to him. Did you think that that impacted the way that they performed? Because they usually put up a lot of points. And they came over, and listen, we always talk about West Coast teams coming to the East Coast and not being able to play because really their body clock time is like 9 o'clock, their body clock time.
Right.
But, you know, is it more about that and the week that they've had, or was it more about the Giants starting to figure it out and your son, your adopted son,
yes,
Danny Dimes?
Yeah, I think, really, how could the Henry Ruggs thing not affect you? You know, I mean, that had to have a huge impact on this football team. And it's just, it's such a tragedy that it, you know, obviously affects so many people. And I'm sure it affects the Raiders as well. And, you know, it's hard to sit back and, you know, your thoughts are with the family of the young woman that was killed. And your thoughts are with Henry Ruggs also. And I think that it can't be understated that yes, of course it had an effect on the Raiders. There's no doubt about it. And at the same time, I don't want to discredit what the Giants did, because I think the Giants, that this is two games in a row now that their defense has actually showed up and been the defense that we expected it to be all season. So I don't want to discredit the Giants in any way. It's a big win. But without question, with the rug situation and it definitely affected that football team.
But this defense is really what led today, because, I mean, your son, I mean, I don't know if you looked at the stat line, 15 for 20 for 110.
Well, he never had anybody to throw to either. They got the Tony kid that's going to be good, but let's face it,
Galladay, they need to get a rebate for him.
That dude's been—he's stealing. Like you say, that's one of the guys that he wears a mask to go collect his check. That dude never plays. He never played last year either. And then you know you've got, and then you had Shepard's out again, and then Saquon's out. So that's why, to me, this is a huge win for the Giants. It doesn't matter the circumstances. The fact that you're dealing without, you know, three of your better players on offense and you're able to win the game and the Giants defense steps up big time. It's, you know, look, they gave up 3 points to the Panthers, 20 to the Chiefs, 16 to the Raiders. You know, like, this thing team's playing pretty damn good on defense right now, last 3 weeks.
So tell me this, 3-6. What do they got to get to save Gettleman's job, or is this a foregone conclusion? Because at the end of the day, we know that they're not going
to the. They got to run the dang table. I think it's.
Do they need to get a Gettleman dial like a major league and start peeling off pieces?
Yeah, I mean something drastic has to happen. Like they got to be lights out for him to keep his job, and Joe Judge or whatever. I don't know, but this win helps and last week's helps. So we'll see, but they got to get on a run for sure.
Yeah. It's going to definitely get a little bit more difficult as they got one of the hardest schedules coming down the stretch. But if they show, like, it's weird, right? Because you can get that momentum and you can change, you know, some opinions, because you know that the Mars don't want to fire anybody because they feel like they're becoming that turnstop, right? You know, they've gone from Gase to Shermer, now to Judge. And if they keep doing that, then it's going to look like it's a fire drill going on there. They're not going to be able to figure things out. But the biggest drama of the week, the biggest drama, you know, I've talked about Baker Mayfield. I've said a lot of, you know, disparaging things about him. Nothing personal, right? Even to the fact where Cleveland radio wanted me to get on the air and explain myself and all that type of stuff. And I just said, listen, I'm not a great believer in Baker Mayfield. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. I'm just saying he's probably the third best quarterback within the division. And I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, he's had enough body of work to kind of prove what he was, but they haven't been getting it done. But this was the battle for Ohio. And whether you agree with me or don't agree with me, I have to tip my hat to say, hey, that the Cleveland Browns in a must-win kind of, right?
Right.
They couldn't fall two games behind the Ravens and fall two games behind Cincinnati. And they went and they got it done. And it was done the way that they always get it done, by running the football and getting turnovers. Now, Joe Burrow, we're not accustomed to Joe Burrow turning the ball over like this, but we are accustomed to Nick Chubb and what he's able to do in running the ball. And after all that was been the Odell drama, they look like this team rallied around it. And it's an indictment on Odell because it seems like now that he's out of the building, once again, they exceeded expectations.
Yeah, it makes no sense that Baker Mayfield plays a hell of a lot better without Odell Beckham in there. Makes no sense, yet that's exactly what happens. So his statistics tell us so. Everything tells us so. But, look, Baker Mayfield, and you're right, Bart, he's not an elite quarterback. He's a decent quarterback. He's not elite. And why everybody overrates him so much is that he's on every damn commercial. He's got charisma. He's got, you know, that, like, you know, I love him because when his back's against the wall, the sucker comes out fighting. That's what we saw today. And he played much better than he has in recent weeks. So, look, that's who he is. But their stats will tell you how a guy performs when a game's on the line. Baker's come up short of that, okay? But he didn't come up short today. The guy that came up, or the team that's coming up short, right, are the Bengals. They look like paper tigers again. Once again, they look like paper tigers. And you mentioned Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is second. They throw, what, the second most interceptions in the National Football League. So he's got some great things. He's got some bad ones. But that's why, to me, I would take Herbert over him, no question. But, look, I mean, this team is still –
too, right?
Yes, of course.
That interception award, that takes at least 3 points off the board, turns to 7 for the opposing team. That's a minus 10, right?
Yeah, and this team also, Bart, let's face it, they gave up 400 yards passing to Mike White. 400 freaking yards of passing to him.
Yeah.
So to me, that's why I think they're paper tigers. They had the great game against Baltimore. Hell, I was convinced. I'm like, damn, these guys, you know, maybe they finally have turned the page. They're going to be a decent team. Nah, they're still the same old Bengals.
So no belief that, you know, maybe they can turn the corner.
Bart, they may make the playoffs like they've done many times before. Will they win a game? Highly doubtful.
Gotcha. I mean, it's crazy, right? You know, you talk about Peoples. It seems like, you know, Donovan Peoples-Jones seems to be – that should be Odell Beckham's route. Like, I don't get it. Like,
and it shows up. They dial long distance to the kid. Wait, where was Odell for those? But it just – I don't know. Blows me away. And, you know, was it personal? I don't have any idea, but it should work. But it didn't.
Yeah, I tell you what, man. The baby Ravens, too, man. In that division, I mean, listen, they won, but man, I'm concerned with that defense. I mean, you talk about Dalvin Cook, man, just running straight through them, like talk about, you know, wet paper bags. And that's what my concern is. And it's crazy because we got the reports that came out that the Ravens tried to make a move for Xavier Howard, didn't work out. You know, Miami didn't want to go for it, but man, it shows, man. They need another corner, and I don't know how this team. It's so many flawed teams in the AFC, and it's just in the NFL all together, man. It's just like who can mask that stench with a good deodorant, man. They still stink, but you know the things that they don't do well, man. Who can exploit it? And it's got to be about who can match up. You know, Lamar Jackson does Lamar Jackson things against past Michael Vick, you know, all time with 12 games of rushing for over 100 yards. You know, but how much can you ask a young man to do, man? This defense giving up 30-something points to Kirk Cousins in their house is crazy.
Well, I will say this. That defense played great in the second half. They stunk up the joint in the first half. I don't know what was said or whatever. They came out a different unit in the second half, and they needed to. But I tell you, the guy that to me is, I mean, as much as Lamar's improved as a passer, this Brown kid, everybody, he is playing his butt off.
Yeah.
Like, did you see him coming back to the football? Like, no, you know, absolutely. On those things, I'm like, hey, where did this come from?
Well, you know, we're used to seeing this
guy going deep, you know?
You know, Steve called me, right? When I said that he wasn't a one, I said it. Steve called me like, Bart, what are you talking about? Like, Steve, come on, man. Like the kid, a good receiver, he's not a one. I was like, man.
Shoot.
So, like, ever since that call, I don't know if he has a poster of me that he throws darts at. You know, I don't know if he has a, listen, if he becomes great based off his hate for me and me, you know, saying something about him publicly, but it wasn't me saying anything about him publicly. I was basically saying Lamar Jackson doesn't have a true number one. I was talking about his greatness, and it turns to a whole thing where, you know, Preston tried to get in contact with me. They tried to, you know, the local Ravens. Yeah. I said, listen, man, it was about me talking about Lamar Jackson and how great he's doing with without the weapons that everybody else has. There's no hate about, you know, action, you know, Hollywood Brown, and he kind of came at me on Twitter. But hey, man, ever since then, I have to tip my hat. Hey, he's playing well. I still don't think he's the number one, though, but it's all good.
I tell you what, though, Bart, I'm thinking he is. And here's the deal. That kid has improved by leaps and bounds. And whether it was through motivated by you or whatever, let's keep it up. Let's say something. I hope you say something bad about him again, because that dude is absolutely balling. He did this game, man. That dude is ridiculous. And here's the other thing. That guy, he doesn't need to have 10 catches every week to make a difference. Like, he can dial up long distance. So, I don't know. I think the kid's well on his way to becoming a number one.
Right. Listen, I get, you know, listen, I hope so, man. Because, listen, everybody out there listening that's going to listen to Organized Chaos that's a Raven fan, remember, I am a Raven. It wasn't said in hate, man. Nobody loves that team more than me and you, Rex. So they can keep all that hate. But it's crazy, right, when you think about it. My favorite guy, I guarantee you would have loved to have this guy, Patrick Richard, man.
Dude, man. Yep.
He's like, I don't know, he's like a mixture of the Terminator, John Connor that we had, and Kelly Gregg had a baby, right?
Yeah.
it's like you gotta love this guy. This guy, I mean, what type of athleticism is that?
Shoot, that big old monster. Did you see him? You know, that Kendricks guy's a hell of a player, right? For Minnesota, yeah. The linebacker.
Yes.
Dude was flat on his back like five times taking him on. In fact, you know, I'm going to show that on Get Up tomorrow. I've got a little feature on that on that big old monster at fullback, because he crushed him to the point where it's like, dang, it's almost like, God, you almost got to fast forward that tape if you're Minnesota, because it was damn embarrassing.
But the dude's like 320 pounds. He's not supposed to be able to move like that. I don't understand why this dude wasn't one of the best defensive linemen ever.
I know.
This dude with that type of wiggle, athleticism, the ability to catch the ball. Like, it's amazing that this guy wasn't like a dominant. I wonder if he gets an opportunity to kind of go back and kind of play a little defensive, if that can change his game, if he can go back and be dominant. Because he's great at what he does. You know what I mean? But with that type of athleticism, it seems like this dude should be great.
Boy, you would think so. I mean, I can tell you one thing. Whoever's, you know, like Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator with Baltimore, he's like, oh, hell no, he's not going anywhere. Because, man, he made an impact more ways than one in this game.
Tell you what, man. Listen, I don't know. I know we got, you know, we're going to break a little bit, man. But, man, this is to continue to upset thing. I mean, Atlanta and the Saints. It's Cordell Patterson. Like, potentially, he might be an all-pro this year, man. Like, how does somebody become an all-pro? How does the light turn on this late in somebody's career? Like, I remember when you guys found Brendan Amadeggio, and he was just a special team guy. Y'all turned into a nice little dime player, when he came out and he found his niche and started playing defense. But, man, Cordell Patterson is supposed to just be returning kicks. And this dude, like, routinely 100 yards receiving, like, all time.
Yeah, no, and it's crazy. Look, he's damn near 230 pounds, too. Like, big, fast, strong, athletic. He's had all that, and you're a great returner. Like, you're right. He was supposed to be like Hester. No, man, this dude's legit. They put him in the backfield. 6'2", 230. And, you know, the number looks horrible, you know, standing as a running back, number 84. But the dude is balling. And so, to me, I don't get it, but when he's out there, it's like, golly, like, just think. And, you know, Atlanta can sit back and say, we knew it all the time. No, you didn't. You signed the dude for $1 billion from Carolina, Mike Davis, who's terrible. And, you know, so don't tell me, oh, you knew it all the time. No way, you lucked into it, but they got to be happy as hell they got it.
He went 6 for 116 or something like that, Rex, as receiver.
Yeah, as a receiver out of the backfield. It's crazy, absolutely crazy.
So, but then again, you talk about on the other side of it, right? The Saints look horrible. Like, how quickly are you calling Cam Newton? Like, I need help. Like, the good thing is they have a cushion But man, they need help because Trevor Siemian ain't it. And it ain't going to be it.
And here's the funny thing. Trevor Siemian, they did drop like five freaking balls for him. But with that being said, I'm not calling Cam Newton. I'm calling Drew Brees. Say, listen, come on, Holmes. You ain't that good on TV anyway. He is pretty good, but it's like, no come on, man. Yeah, you know, like, come on, Drew. Get back underneath center. Let's go.
Jeez, Phillip Rivers was like, hey.
Yeah. Now, Phillips looks like he swallowed. You know, it looked like he looks like, you know, he swallowed a baby and a few hamburgers. So I'm not sure how that's going to go.
Man, but they got to do something because this is a team.
They do.
This league is wide open. And like right now, like you gotta consider every single alternative scenario that you can, man, because 5-3, but who's the team to beat? They beat the team that was the team to beat last week.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like how the hell do you beat Tampa, beat the brakes in off Tampa, then you go out and get beat by Atlanta. Now Atlanta is playing better, but come on, Atlanta's garbage on defense, and I mean, it just makes that's the league. That's the league right now. Parity. That's it. Every team's still alive, man.
Is Atlanta still alive at 4-4?
Hell yeah.
Maybe a wild card.
Shoot, the way they're playing, they can. You know, and hopefully they get Calvin Ridley back in a couple of weeks. He gets back on board. Yeah, I mean, Matty Ice is like, dang, he looks like he did like 4 years ago. So I gotta give him some credit, man.
I thought I had it figured out, and I don't know nothing. Like I'm more confused today after these upsets than I ever did.
Yeah, Bart. Speaking of crazy stats, you know, could the Falcons be in the mix? If the playoffs started today, the Falcons would be in the playoffs. Like, what? That's how crazy the league is right now.
Yeah, it is definitely the Twilight Zone, man. Let's take a break, man, so I can get a little fluid in my body. You got me all fired up, man, and now I got the wet throat. I'm tired. So let's take a break, man, and come back and discuss the 4 o'clock games because it is no love in the heart of the city. We'll be back after this.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott, joined as always with my main man, my coach, my friend, Rex Ryan. Rex, let's talk about these 4 o'clock games. And when I say it's no love in the heart of the city, you talk about opportunities to prove that you're ready to go and take the next step. 3 years of being in the NFL, Jordan Love stinks. And he looks horrible. Like, I don't know. Listen, they should – I don't know. Do you think Aaron Rodgers did this whole thing on purpose just so that he can show just how important he is to the organization? Like, oh, because, sheesh. Like, Rex, I mean, they almost got shut out by the Kansas City defense. I'm going to say that again in case people out there didn't hear me. The Green Bay Packers almost got shut out by the Kansas City defense with all their receivers, with everything that they normally have, except for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers might have just won the MVP by sitting out for a week.
You know, it is amazing. Jordan, no love from you, no love from me either. When they drafted him, I was like, I go, what? I go, they took the quarterback from Utah State? He was hot garbage in college. And then people told me like, oh no, this is the next Patrick Mahomes. The year before he was phenomenal. I'm like, well, I can tell you one thing. I saw the tape on him from his last year. And that's why I went off on the Packers so bad about this pick. And now he gets a chance to go, they're going to show me. That's it. I had the guy tell me, you just wait to watch Jordan Love today. I'm still waiting. 5 minutes left in the game. That's the first time they scored a point. But here's the crazy thing. Kansas City, you would think that the Packers were our old defenses, man, because they couldn't do crap against them. Kansas City, man, not only are you garbage on defense, that offense, where did it go? How come it disappears? You know,
they're going to figure it out, man. McCall.
Yeah, look, all right, I'm waiting.
McCall Harmon, man. Like, he has some critical drops, man. They really missing Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
This offensive line isn't what it used to be. They don't strike any fear I don't know if, you know, like, listen, Tampa Bay showed everybody the blueprint and everybody's using the blueprint and they haven't figured out how to adjust, how to make teams play, how to bludgeon teams. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers was playing in this game, they would have put up 40 on this team. This would have been a 40 burger.
Like, I don't doubt it. Like, there's no question in my mind Green Bay wins this game if Aaron Rodgers is playing quarterback. No question. I totally agree with you there. The fact that this team right now, so they're what, 5-4 or something like that?
5-4.
That's a bad 5-4 look. However, you know, Andy Reid, everybody seems to think they're going to fix it. This is going to be the week they're going to light some team up. Look, last year they never lit up anybody. And that's why I kept saying, I go, this team ain't as good as you think, you know, because they're winning these one score games all the time. But to me, you know, they seem like they're so far away from that championship type football. It just drives me crazy. Now, look, there's a lot of games left. They got to get it right. But my goodness, they ought to be, thinking they're lucky stars that Aaron Rodgers did not play in this game.
Yeah, because you talk about they couldn't afford to be. They couldn't afford to be 4-5. You know, even within that division, like when they have to go play the rematch between the Chargers, I'm picking the Chargers. When they have to play the Raiders, listen, the Raiders are going to get reinforcements as well, as Deshaun Jackson has informed some people within the NFL that he's going to sign, you know, with the Las Vegas Raiders. So, I mean, that's going to add them more firepower. That's going to kind of replace some of the speed and the deep threat that Henry Ruggs, you know, gave them. So I think they'll be fine there, you know, once they've had a week to process what happened. And I think next week they'll be much better. But I mean, if you ask me, who am I more confident within that division? I'm going with the Raiders and I'm going with the Chargers. Like,
yeah.
And I might go with Denver.
Yeah. Well, that is crazy, but I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
At least I can count on a run game and good receivers on the outside and Teddy Two Gloves taking care of the football. I mean, I just don't know. I don't either.
I mean, here's my question. How about this?
You know how many yards? You know how many yards that Patrick threw for? 166.
I know, but he's going against that great Packer defense, the same defense that we just ripped to shreds early in the year, but. You know, and it's crazy to me. But, you know, right now, if you had to sit back and say, okay, who's a better quarterback, Justin Herbert or Patrick Mahomes?
Justin Herbert.
I'm taking Herbert, too. And as much as I love Patrick Mahomes, but I'm damn sure taking Justin Herbert.
I'm taking Carr as well.
And you're taking Carr as well, and that's fine. But it's like, we'll see, you know. And that's the thing. Every year you got to prove it. Well, Kansas City, you got to prove it, man. You ain't automatically going to be in the dang playoffs.
That rent's due. And it's crazy because I don't know how reinforcements come because they got to pay Orlando Brown Jr. because they gave up first round draft picks. So they got to pay him $100 million. How are you getting better? Like I don't know, man. Like they're going to have some tough decisions. I don't even know if Melvin Ingram played this week. I don't even know if that's – I don't remember even seeing him on the field. That was supposed to be their big trade acquisition that they made to try and improve that defense. But I'm concerned with them. But speaking about, you know, at the absence of Aaron Rodgers, Kyler Murray didn't play either, and it didn't matter.
And neither did A.J. Green. Neither did Hopkins. And yet Colt McCoy comes out there looking like Joe Montana. Like, what the hell? Like, good for Colt McCoy, just a journeyman quarterback for years and years. But I was like, man, there's no way. I'll take the Niners in this one. The Niners get me every year, though. They stink. Like, this team's they went to a Super Bowl. I get it. 3 years ago, they went to a Super Bowl. But 5 of the last 6 years, they finished dead last in that dang division. That's who the hell they are. But James Conner, where the hell did this come from? I had James Conner on my fantasy team 2 years in a row. He did nothing. This year,
he always often hurt.
But this year he leads the league in touchdowns. He's just crushing people, and he's doing a great job out of the backfield. Like, this is the damn guy I wanted 2 years ago. But to them, how impressive is this win for the Cardinals? You're doing it with a backup quarterback. You don't have your best two receivers, And you still go out and you put up over 400 yards offense against this vaunted 49er defense. Man, oh man, tip your hat to the job that Cliff Kingsbury is doing and that Arizona Cardinals team.
Well, it's time for us to bury the San Francisco 49ers, man, because
amen.
You know, we crown these guys gurus, and Kyle Shanahan and listen, John Lynch, they went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This ain't the team, and they can't say they didn't have Kittle's back. They have it, they have everything that they had. All hands on deck today, and it didn't matter. And the fact that they couldn't come up big, you know, shout out to Chandler Jones by becoming the Cardinals' all-time sack leader.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Only concern I have about these Cardinals is if, you know, they run into a team that can run the football. And I thought that was supposed to be the 49ers. I thought they were supposed to be the team that can run the football. And, you know, it just ain't working out. So, once again, we'll start seeing what's going on. You know, with them, but you know, got to tip your hat to the Cardinals. They're legit. You know, if you guys ask me, the teams I'm more confident with in this league that I can say, you know what, I can count on consistency. The Cardinals is one, Tampa's two, and probably the Rams are three. You know, those are the only teams in the league that I'm really confident about. Maybe Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers is there, but it's the teams I have confidence with is all in the NFC.
Yeah,
I have no confidence in any team in the AFC. Because you just – it's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
No, and that's true. And, look, I think the Rams are the best team, yet this Cardinal team punked them. Like, they ran the ball down the Rams' throats. Yeah. And if you have Von Miller on your team, that ain't going to help your run defense. It's going to help your pass rush. But that's something that – this is not the same Arizona Cardinals red gun offense that I hated for all these years. That ain't that offense anymore. Like, they pound the hell out of you. They are physical. And that's why I like the job that Cliff Kingsbury's done so much is that, you know what? He swallowed his pride, said, hey, this red gun crap, I'm going to put this on the back burner. I'm going to try to win football games. And that's exactly what he's done. He's changed probably more than any coach in the league this year.
Yeah, he's tweaked it. He's tweaked it. And another side, I know that one of the last, you know, 4 o'clock games, Cardinals were able to late, you know, beat the Eagles.
The Chargers, yeah.
Yeah, so we're still trying to figure that team out. But, you know, a win is a win. And, maybe we overrated them a bit. But, listen, right now they're still doing their thing. You know, off to a 4-1 start, you know, had some tough losses. The loss to Dallas was a tough loss. And maybe teams are starting to figure out Justin Herbert just a little bit. But, you know, it's still a team that's going to be right there in the mix.
Yeah, no, I think the only way you're going to beat the Chargers is if you have the ability to lock those receivers down like the Baltimore Ravens did, you know. And they don't want to play the Ravens in the playoffs either because they'll pound the hell out of football. This Charger team, the thing that gets me is they don't have the most speed of all time outside. And then the other deal is they just can't stop the run. Yet, I mean, they let Philly hang around, but at the end of the day, they produce enough. This Justin Herbert is special enough to find a way with this football team, and they win a close one again. But I love the quarterback. I just don't love their defensive, you know, their front seven, and that's where the Staley comes in. He's supposed to be a defensive guru, even though he's like 28 years old or whatever he is with like 3 years experience. But they can't stop anybody.
He's using analytics. Sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
probably
great.
Read defensive coordinator for dummies or something.
They ought to put analytics on the field, you know, like put that book on the field and see if it doesn't trip up a running back or something, because that thing right there, they let Philly, who can't run a lick, all right, unless they play the Lions, they let them run the football. So I would be concerned still with the Chargers. And because that doesn't win in playoff time is if you can't stop the run, whew, good luck.
Do you ever, like, real talk? Do you ever get any calls just for consultation or to be a consultant? Remember when we were with the Ravens and Billy called Fossil just to kind of come in once a week and kind of point out some stuff and help them with, like, conceptually what's going on and how to fix some of the issues that they have. You don't get any calls like that?
I get a couple calls every now and then from, you know, certain people, but not really. No, I think they know that I would say I charge them $2 million, but no, I'm just kidding. It's, I think guys don't want to do that. I think sometimes if word gets out, then they're really gonna, I only talk to some of my real close friends But other than that, no, I don't. I don't get any calls.
I mean, because I see certain things, man, around this league that baffles me. I mean, the Thursday night game when I was watching the Jets, it was amazing, right? It was apparent early in the game that those four couldn't handle those four, and they never put them on a move. And remember how the Giants? I explained this on the show the next day, like how the Giants knew that, you know, if they took the Y off, that it would change our front. And right. It would make us go from reduced to under and back and all that stuff. So they would yo-yo motion us and get us moving and looking like a fire drill. Like, I'm like, yo, why don't you just go with a defense that it doesn't matter? The strength call closer to the field, closer to a person, and leave it there, right? You know, because usually it's a receiver that's always going to be X. And it just seems like the Jets could not figure it out. And it's like, how in the hell can you, like, the whole "you so crazy" thing that we do.
You're so crazy, man.
Running back and forth, pointing to each other, like, wait, you go. And then, meanwhile, with all that moving and motion, they so busy trying to run and shift and change the line that they don't see a regular plain shuffle pass or regular plain just run coming at them because their eyes aren't ready because they're too busy running and shifting and reloading the sides. It's like,
yeah, just because they want to play an over front. You're exactly right, Bart. I mean, for people who don't know, we would have field calls, boundary calls. We could do anything, and we'd run whatever the hell we wanted. We could care less. You only have five eligible players, so we would line up, especially playing at home when the crowd was loud. We never wanted to mess up. So I don't care. We never cared how you lined up. Shift, motion, all that. You played in our hands. But yeah, this laser. Team's trying to exactly. But these guys don't know that. They play one front, one coverage, two coverages, two blitzes. And they call themselves defensive gurus. So that was an ass whipping that Thursday night. That was fun to watch. Sitting back, I mean, thinking, look at it, Josh Johnson come in there and throw for 400 cheap yards, but who cares? Remember the crap? Remember when I did that? We're playing New Orleans, beating the hell out of him, had five takeaways against Drew Brees, beating the dog out of him. And then we're in the fourth quarter of the game, we're up like 30 points, and I'm playing regular coverages, cover two, cover four, cover
six. Trying to give him a soft landing.
Remember, we got our ass. He threw for like 200 yards in the fourth quarter against us, and I was so pissed. They're going for two late in the game. We only had one call, and I never even called it. Remember on the two-point play? But either way, that's what it reminded me of. And it was like at the end of the game, it's like,
the most shallow yard.
Oh, I mean, it was the worst yardage ever. But, you know, that young offense coordinator is probably like, hey, man, we got 550 yards two games in a row. Yeah, you got your ass kicked in this one. But either way, hey, I love the fact that they kicked the dude upstairs. That's probably where he belongs.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was coordinator. Yeah.
I tell you what, we got a couple games coming up a little bit. Listen, the Steelers,
yeah,
you know, whatever you want to say, every time we try and bury Michael Myers, AKA Ben Roethlisberger, he has a favorable matchup against the Bears. And if he beats the Bears, they're 5-3, or they go to 6-3. I believe they go to 6-3 and you're saying, okay, they go to 5-3 because they're
5-3. Yeah.
And so if they're 5-3, that puts them second, I believe, in the division.
Right.
Like, so we keep trying to bury this Steelers team, but they're not going to be an easy out. Right, within this division. Because, listen, they win the games that they're supposed to win, and they just go about their business, and it's ugly, but they get it done.
Yeah, you know, like I heard Ben Roethlisberger interviewed this week, and he goes, look, we put in a brand-new offense, and it's taken us time to really figure it out. And they're doing a better job because they've been more conscious of running the football. And I think that's really helps the team. I think it helps Ben. I think it helps their whole football team. And so if they can be more, you know, balanced on offense, they got a chance. And, you know, they're playing the Bears. This isn't the great, you know, Bear defenses that we're used to. You got Khalil Mack is going to miss another start. So, man, if I'm a betting man, I'm going to bet on the Steelers this week.
No doubt. So let's look ahead to the week that it'd be. Right, because we won't really get to talk about these until after they've happened. We got Ravens Dolphins. I mean, is that just what the doctor ordered for the Ravens to kind of get right and get set and feel good about themselves?
Yeah, it really is. But
right.
Go ahead.
They're in South Beach.
That's what I mean. You would think. Remember, you just got all you got to do is bring him in and say, "All right, fellas, I need you this week. Like, you know, you got to make darn sure that those guys, you can stay. We'll have another plane. All right, we're going to have another plane there. So those that want to stay after the game and celebrate there, that's fine. All right, yes. But the other plane's going home. Remember, we used to have two planes because I did not want any of that South Beach disaster going on. And ever since we put that in, what happened, Bart? We started winning when we used to play down there.
It's nothing like seeing athletes at a strip club for happy hour. Like, we the only ones that it ain't even a real shift. It ain't even a good shift. Right,
that's the C squad out there, but so I'm told. I wouldn't know it. So I'm told, but yeah, it's bad if coaches are out there too. But you know that's the thing. The Ravens, it's way too important. They got to get it done out there.
Yeah.
Playing against Miami, who's on a 7-game losing streak. So, yeah. Or you know whatever they are, they've been awful. So.
Next Sunday, man, this game is important, right?
Yeah.
We got Chiefs and Raiders. I mean, this can go a long way. This can go a long way. The Raiders, you know, should have won this week, but now they have to win next week, right? Because now they got to try and create some separation. You know, you talk about the head-to-heads between division opponents, you know, people within your division. You know, Chiefs, Raiders, a lot of sizzle next week.
Hey, this one is huge because literally if the Chiefs win this game, over the last 2 weeks, they'll have gained two games on the Raiders. So
yeah.
The Raiders have to win this. And then that way it's still, you know, because they lost today, that way it still remained the same. But this game's going to be super competitive. And we're going to see the best that they have, that both teams have to offer. All right, the Chiefs, we're going to see everything you're all about. All right. Now, I saw, man, they blitzed that young quarterback like crazy. Spags was confident as hell. Are you going to blitz Derek Carr the same way you blitzes, you know, Jordan Love? Nah, I'm not so sure that's the answer. So we'll find out. I think it's going to be a good game. And then, look, the next Monday night game is going to be a, you know, we always think it's going to be a good one. Why? Because the 49ers play the Rams good. Why? I have no freaking idea why it is at the Niners. But I want to see Von Miller. I think he'll make his debut next Monday night for the Rams.
They need him next week, right? And we'll see what he has left. You know what I mean? If it's any indication that, you know, Denver walked away from him and it seems like the kid that they put in had more production, he's already halfway to Von Miller's sack total, you know, in one game. You know, he got two, Von Miller 4.5 on the season, 4.5 on the season. All right, Rex, it's always a pleasure, my friend. We wrap it up. I'm Bart Scott. He's Rex Ryan, and this is Organized Chaos Podcast. Rex and I will be dropping a new podcast each and every weekend from now until Super Bowl Super Sunday. You can always catch me from 12 to 3 Eastern on the Bart Hahn Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And you can catch Rex every Sunday on NFL Countdown and Monday mornings on Get Up. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Organized Chaos. Check back for new episodes every Monday morning all season long, wherever you get your podcast.
Swaggle and Perk, a new ESPN podcast led by its namesake, former NFL veteran analyst Marcus Spears, a.k.a. Swaggoo, and NBA champion and analyst Kendrick Perkins. Spears and Perk will bring listeners the latest NBA and NFL news, as well as a look inside their life's career journey with can't-miss conversations and welcome in top sports and celebrity guests. That's Swaggle and Perk. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, and also available on ESPN YouTube channel.